Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbreakcanada.ca. I'm Norm Borg. You know, being a brother to a Hall of Fame driver can be tough, but my guest today takes it all in stride, takes all the wins he can get, and even takes a shot at helping the image of harness racing with a new invention. Gord Brown talks about his driving career, which, by the way, will reach a new milestone this year when he hits $15 million in lifetime purse earnings. He'll also talk about the keys to his success no matter what the odds. That's next on this edition of Trot Radio. Gord Brown just wrapped up yet another driving title at Kawartha Downs. He was in the top 10 here at Rito in 2010, and he's just completed his fifth straight million-plus season in earnings. Gord, welcome to Trot Radio.
Thanks, Norm. Thanks for having me.
How do you top that?
Well, I'll be top, that's for sure. Hopefully there's a lot of good horses to drive.
Well, it sounds like you're getting a lot of them, and the more I look at the driver's schedules on the program, your name has a lot more numbers beside it in terms of races. You know, you tagged along the backstretch at tracks like Old Greenwood, where your brother's career began rocketing him into the Hall of Fame. You have all the skills of a Doug Brown, yet you chose to stick to the smaller tracks. Why is that?
Well, I've had numerous opportunities to go up to Toronto, Mohawk, Woodbine, and race. I kind of like it where I am. You know, it's kind of fun down here.
It is fun. Is it also a matter of just not wanting to have to put up with the kind of pressure that a lot of the guys on the big circuit have to deal with?
Well, no, not really. It's like I say, it's if you go up there to drive one or two, you know, and you end up losing, say, 10 or 12 down here, you know, for the sake of driving one or two that you might never drive again. So it's just kind of nice sticking right around here.
Owners at that level can be a pretty fickle bunch.
For sure.
For many years, you had a productive association with trainer Mark Winnicott. That partnership ended last year, I think it was. But at the time, the talk, the buzz was that Gord Brown was going to have to start from scratch. Obviously, that didn't happen. You had another million-plus season. I guess the question is, how did you manage to make what seems like a seamless transition into, let's say, free agency?
Well, actually, it wasn't that hard, really. I mean, I knew my ability, and I'm driving now for guys I've never ever drove for before, which is kind of nice. You know, something with Mark when I was driving for him, I mean, it was great, but it also closed the door a lot on other good drives because people just wouldn't put me down because they knew Mark would have one in there. So it's kind of opened the door, actually.
Now you're doing some driving, and you have a partnership with Per Henriksen. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I got a really nice two-year-old trotting colt I own with Pear. We just bought him out of the sale, and hopefully he'll be racing in the near future.
And it's a cadaver. You said you're driving a lot for Pear too, I see.
When Pear doesn't show up, if Pear has something else on the go, like if Pear's racing at Woodbine or Mohawk or somewhere else, I usually fill in for him. It's always kind of nice. I like driving for Pear. He's a great all-around horseman.
Yeah, and a nice guy, too. And it's already working. I think in January you're at least one winner I know you drove for Pear.
Actually, I drove three.
You're three for four.
Three for four, yeah.
That's right.
Actually, Pear's daughter was down for a holiday, and I told him that she can come visit anytime.
Nice. Now, you drive about 1,600 times a year. You got to work out to stay in shape to keep up with that schedule, don't you?
For sure. I work out every day. I'm 49 coming to 50, and I've never felt better in my life.
That's true, and it shows in the way that you're able to keep up that pace because you're back and forth between Rito and Kawartha Downs. Another thing I've noticed about Gord Brown, I don't know if it's just luck or perhaps being in good physical shape allows you to maintain the kind of balance and strength that helps avoid getting tossed. I don't remember ever seeing you getting tossed.
Yeah, I've had a few. I've got beat up pretty bad, actually, in a few of them.
But, well, not since I've been calling races at Rito. I don't think you've had one in, no, touch wood, I don't think you've had one in the 5 years I've been here.
Actually, no, I haven't. I had some near misses, that's for sure, but you just got to be awfully lucky, too.
Well, it's that announcer karma.
There you go.
Something interesting that you've been working on, it's a new model whip, very much modeled after the thoroughbred type of pro cushion whip. Makes a lot of noise, doesn't put a lot of hurt on a horse. Tell us about that.
Well, the pro cushion whip to start with is actually a lot firmer than the one I was going to get made. Mine was basically like a noodle that kids hit each other with out in the pool. You know, I went to a meeting, I had Bill O'Donnell behind me, John Campbell, Stan Bergstein, And I went to the meeting, you know, and it just felt like it just fell on deaf ears.
This was here in Canada?
Yes, it was. It was at the commission last year, actually.
And their reasoning was what?
Well, they used this overused word, perception. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I honestly thought it would really help harness racing, you know. I mean, I used it one day at Kawartha. I think either won four or five races that day, you know, and it still makes a noise, mm-hmm. but I mean, it cannot hurt a horse. You could hit yourself with it all day long and not feel a thing.
But in fairness to their argument, they had just come out with the new whipping rules, and really this whip is sort of gives you a license to freehand, yet you're not hurting the horse. Why not pitch it in the States? I mean, you look at the Meadowlands, they can still use a freehand at the head of the stretchers, so I think something like that and public awareness about it would be a great thing.
Yeah, you're right, Norm. I talked to John Campbell at great length over it, you know, and he wanted one down there immediately, but I just wasn't in the position of getting a whole bunch of them made up for the sake of having them turned down.
I think you're thinking too negatively, buddy. I mean, you know, this is something that some big names have gotten behind. There is no real change to the encouraging rule, as it's called, down in New Jersey. There are a lot of drivers, and there are a lot of other jurisdictions where the same type of rules hold sway. Seems to me like you've got a big opportunity there.
Well, like I said, it can't hurt a horse, and it's just a noise. And as most drivers know, I mean, it's a scare that'll make a horse go on.
Yeah, well, you know, if horses didn't react to fear, then you wouldn't hear guys going, "Get!"
Exactly.
You know, why not just use the whip?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you should keep at it, and I'm sure that the folks that listen to this program, there must be many who will say, great idea, and hopefully you can get some working partners, as it were, or some stakeholders, whatever the case may be. I think it's a phenomenal idea, and you know, even if I were a passive fan of horse racing, I would say, okay, well, if it's not hurting the horse, that's a good thing.
A good point. It's you'd still have a whipping rule in effect. I mean, it's not that you just go out and wallop them the whole mile with it. You'd still have a rule in effect. But like I say, when I was at the meeting, and basically Bill O'Donnell told me they already had their minds made up, and I think it was about 2 weeks after they came out with this new whipping rule.
Well, here's the thing, though. Isn't this even better in terms of being a follow-up to the whipping rule, I would think, because you're saying, okay, now our guys have to keep a line in each hand so that they can't just carve on a horse. But not only that, now we've got these new encouraging devices that just make noise.
That's right. And I've always said, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but you know something, you can still hurt a horse with lines and with your hands in the hand holds. I mean, you can still wallop a horse pretty good, you know. And I just don't understand what the benefit of it is.
And there's a lot of guys who cheat and bend the rule because we've seen it time and time again where they're, you know, I realize there are parameters, you can't go past 90 degrees, but some guys are awfully good at making sure they get the maximum whack out of their whip.
You bet, 100%.
Yeah. Well, I say keep it up. Go for it.
We'll try.
All right. Well, listen, what are your plans for 2011? You've had a great year. Your biggest year was, I think, $1.9 million. That was about, what, three, 4 years ago?
Possibly, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'm going to stick around here and hopefully have another successful year.
Well, I'm sure you will. Yeah, I'm jealous, quite frankly. Here I am with anvil hands. And Gord Brown, always a pleasure talking to you, and stay in touch. Good luck with the model whip.
You too, Norm. Thanks very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.